Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of Luke, the Gospel text, which has already been read. It started with ice cream. It was homemade ice cream. So what I'm saying is that whatever ice cream you think is the best, Whitey's, Smiley's, Country Style, it was better than that. Homemade just is. The ice cream was so good that his neighbors offered him cash money to buy it. And in 1952, refrigeration was coming into its own, and the man bought a truck with a refrigerated box, and he began delivering ice cream to his neighbors. People in southern Minnesota really took to the idea of having their ice cream delivered to them at home. For one thing, you didn't have to worry about it melting in the car on the way home, and the man bought more trucks, and he hired more people, and he started buying other dairies. Then he added things like juice concentrates, and soon his delivery trucks crisscrossed the entire Midwest. And then the man added things like frozen fish and frozen pizzas, and his yellow delivery trucks with the bird on the side started showing up at schools, and its products were in grocery stores. Today, that company generates $3 billion in annual revenue, employs 12,000 people, and the Schwann trucks fill our streets and highways. And for many people, the Schwann man is one of your favorite people. Luke tells us that only one man of the multitude got an audience with Jesus, and that was no small accomplishment. Earlier, Luke had told us that myriads of people had gathered around Jesus, and you're asking, what's a myriad? What's a myriad anyway? Well, a myriad is 10,000, and it's plural, and that was the crowd. And think of a Major League Baseball stadium, so many that they trot upon one another. Maybe instead think of some European football, we would call it soccer, a large crowd jostling for position, and everybody wanted to get close to Jesus. Try to go up to Lambeau before the game and talk to Aaron Rodgers. This man pulled it off. He got an audience with Jesus, and what does he do with it? Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus had to have been thinking, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? Jesus, my father died, and my brother is the executor. Can you get him to give me some more? Nobody ever wants less of my father's stuff. Jesus, can you do that for me? And it's our first clue that this man may have a problem with money. And after Jesus rhetorically said to him, no, I won't talk to your brother about your father's stuff. He says to them, he said that to him, no, I won't talk to your brother. Then he says to them, the crowds, take heed and beware of all covetousness. And now he's talking to them about him when he says, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then he tells a story. Went to a John class last week down at Trinity Davenport, Monday all day, Tuesday all day, Wednesday half a day, and listened to Dr. Weinrich for 2.5 days talk about John, and I kind of hung on every word. I don't go listen to just anybody. I'll go listen to Dr. Weinrich talk about John anytime. And I noticed last week how often the teacher was pointing the students to one word in the Bible. One word. And you hear the same thing if you come to adult Bible class on Sunday morning. Look at this word. You often hear that from the pulpit here. Look at this one word. It's rather unique to the Bible. Rather unique to the Bible that every word is the absolute correct word, the best word, perhaps the word invented to be used there. This word, not that word in the Bible, and the warning is against greed, or we might call it covetousness, not being satisfied with what God has given you, but wanting more, even wanting something that is given to somebody else by God. And you may recognize that concept from the 8th, from the 9th and 10th commandments, the 9th and 10th. What does that mean, not to covet? Jesus says here that a man's life, and the word there is not bios, from which we get biology, not the physical life, but a man's entirety, the entirety of his life, body and soul, your entire being, who you are as a person, does not consist in the things that you have. That thing, who you are as a person, does not consist, he says, in the abundance of his possessions. And try telling that to a lot of Americans who think just the opposite. Life does consist in possessions, does consist in abundance. He who dies with the most toys wins is not just a bumper sticker. For many Americans, it's the way of life. It's a way of life. You are, for a lot of Americans, defined by your possessions, and more is always better. And then there are people like the man who began delivering homemade ice cream to his neighbors in 1952. By the time Marvin Schwann died in 1993, his idea caught on. The company was very successful. And most people don't even know about the Schwann Foundation. Marvin Schwann was a Lutheran, Wisconsin synod, and the foundation he left has given away billions of dollars to seven things, including Lutheran schools, including many Missouri Synod Lutheran schools. And another Lutheran, his name was Curtis Fradert. He wanted to be a doctor, but his father's health went south, so he had to stay in Milwaukee to run the family business, which was malting. And if you've been to Milwaukee, you know there's a lot of malting going on there, and they made and sold a lot of malt. And when he died, he left funding for a hospital, Fradert Memorial Lutheran Hospital. They're working on getting the name Lutheran out of it. It's a teaching hospital, several campuses, helps a lot of sick people. And you didn't even know about that either, did you? We don't know about a lot of those things, do we? We don't know about it because some people take it seriously what Jesus says about don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when it comes to charitable giving. And I don't know what Warren Buffett's pastor is telling him, because everybody knows about his and most people's charitable giving. John Stewart, he's a celebrity kind of a guy. Somebody put on Facebook last week, I think he put it on, that he gave money to something, and you know, comments. And I put in the comments, you have your reward. And I'm probably gonna start doing a lot of that. You have your reward. You can tell us about your charitable giving. You have your reward, as Jesus says. And I mentioned those two Lutherans, Fradert and Schwann, because this is a Lutheran church. And Methodist pastors can talk about Warren Buffett. And the priest can talk about Melinda, Mrs. Bill Gates. And it's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Christians giving money and giving things away for no particular reason, except that's what we do. That's what we do. But to give it away, you have to have it. Or to put it another way, you can't give away what you don't have. Those people had it. And it's no coincidence that they were capitalists. That's our economic system we're operating under. Another invention of Christians. Kenneth Bartlett talks about that in the Italian Renaissance. It's on the great courses, the CDs at Bettendorf, or you can download it. He says that the 14th century Florence Christians saw poverty in their city and they wanted to do something about it. They wanted to do something about it. And they got to thinking, if we use more stuff, if we gather more capital, the means of production, we could produce more stuff so we can give it away. So we can give it away. That's why they wanted more. So we could give it away to buy food and housing for the poor, so that they could pay the dowries in particular, so that girls whose families could not get married could marry and have a family. And it worked. and look around, we are very prosperous, and lately capitalism, with the help of technology, has, according to people who are smarter than I am, brought 3 billion people, half the world's population, out of poverty. And a lot of us can remember when most of the world was in poverty. They're not anymore. Looking at poverty and wealth around the world, I kind of think that God gives the most to Christians. I think God gives the most to Christians because we're not perfect, but we know what to do with it. Give it away, like he taught us. And the more local, the better. Farther away from home, the less efficient. The more short-term, the better. Give people a hand up, not a hand out. We're not perfect, but the church is better at it than, say, the government. And the difference is between Christians giving freely and the government telling you that you have to give to other people. That's the difference. It's a have to as opposed to a want to, and that's very different, two very different things. So the man comes to Jesus wanting him to get him more money. That man, I don't think, is giving it away. That man, I think, is doing the opposite. He's hoarding it. His life, his identity, who he is as a person is defined by money. And how do we know that? Because Jesus is talking about the man when he says to the rest, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life does not consist in abundance of possession. Jesus says, see this guy? Everybody see this guy? You don't want to be like this guy. You don't want to be like him. Does that mean that you ought to empty out the checkbook to help those in need? Well, is that what you do at home? Empty out the checkbook? If you don't, why not? If you believe that that's what this teaches, then you ought to empty out the checkbook and the savings account and everything else. That's not what it teaches. But if that's what you believe, then that's what you ought to do. The parable is about a rich man. And it says that the land, and there's that one word, the land of the rich man brought forth plentiful. That happens all the time. The man, the land brought forth, and it's true, without the land and all the things in the ground and water and CO2 and wind to move things around and nitrogen and seeds. And sometimes we select the seeds, choose what to grow. The land produces. It works. Works. Just look out there. It works. Yields are up. So he builds more bins, and that also happens all the time. But evidence is mounting that the man has a money problem. Sometimes it's the absence of a word. The absence of a word. He omits thanking God. Not one word here to God for the bounty. He omits thanking God. He is making frequent use of the first person singular pronoun, words like I and me. Count them. There's lots of them, not now. Count them later. That seems to be his focus. I, me, my, the opposite of caring for others. And then another first person pronoun, singular, I will say to my soul, you have it made. Stop working. Take it easy. Maybe party a little bit. I'm not going to tell you not to retire. You didn't ask, and nobody has ever checked with me before retiring. I am going to tell you that Paul compares the Christian walk to a run and says to run to win, run through the tape, run through first base, run through the tackler. Whether we have jobs or not, God gives to us, and we continue to give time, talents, and the like as we are able. And that never stops. And I'm also not going to tell you to stop trying to better your lot in life, because there's nothing wrong with wanting to be better, to better your lot, to the lot of your family. And if you have more, then you have more to give, And that's a real win-win, isn't it? Luther points out that you have savings, so that if somebody's in need, you have something to give them. And Colin Cowherd points out that the poor man never gave him a job. It was always a rich man gave him a job. And it's never a good thing in the Bible to be called fool. Like this man is called fool in front of the myriad, tens of thousands of people. And in fact, the man in the parable dies that very night. And how much partying is he doing then? How much partying then? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, the money problem is not about the money. The money problem is looking at that money, looking at those assets, looking at those possessions, no matter how much or little, wrongly, as items to be collected, hoarded, used solely for one's own enjoyment without a thought to those around us who are in need. And that's what it means to lay up treasures for himself. Take heed, beware, don't be like that guy. Solomon started off well. Remember that God asked, told him to ask for anything you want. Solomon asked for wisdom. That's a good answer. Solomon used it. But somewhere along the line, you wonder if those 600 wives, 400 mistresses of Solomon have anything to do with it. Somewhere along the line, Solomon went off the tracks, and his family, who could even count his children, must have been a train wreck. How do you divide up this very large pot of Solomon among a very much larger pot of children? And you see Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes. We read them earlier. The familiar vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He wrote that towards the end of his life. Vanity of vanities, it's all vain. Dr. Art Just Weinrich is doing the John commentary for CPH. Art Just is doing the Luke. He suggests, Dr. Just from the Fort Wayne Seminary, that the end of today's reading, this text, quote, suggest that the remedy for worry and anxiety over wealth is to give away one's surplus. And that's one way to do it. And it happens. Hasn't been that long ago that a guy said to me, Pastor, looks like I'm going to have some money left over, and he gave it away. The man with the money problem had a father who apparently had some measure of wealth, who apparently went in a different direction. He left it to his sons, and at least one was contesting the will. It happens. And he wants Jesus to intervene, which means that the other brother probably wasn't budging. Both of the man's sons had the same money problem, if you can imagine that, treasure for themselves. Instead, Jesus says, be rich towards God. And it's not about rich or poor, not about what you have or don't have, not about what you leave and to whom you leave it. And in fact, Jesus says the actual rich man is the man who is rich toward God, the man who believes, the man who has faith, the person who is a Christian, who understands that all this stuff we have is a blessing from God, not to be guilted about, but to be enjoyed because God gives it. We understand God to be the giver of all good things, including salvation, which is to say that every Christian is a rich man, woman, child. And we also know that in heaven, the riches are going to be beyond our imagination. And being Christians, knowing that we are rich towards God, we know what to do with that stuff, don't we? Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.